الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحج أشهر معلومات، فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج، وما تفعلوا من خير يعلمه الله، وتزودوا فإن خير الزاد التقوى، واتقون يا أولي الألباب. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected elders and brothers, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us for a specific purpose and objective, a duty. And for this purpose and to this end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created different means and different avenues through which we can realize our objective and attain our goal and ultimately succeed in our stay in this world. So we know that we have heard this verse in the Quran Kareem recited over and over again to us, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us the purpose and objective for our creation. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. The gist of which is that ultimately, O man, you have been created, O man and jinn, you have been created so that you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and furthermore to gain the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created different forms of worship and different forms of ibadat. One of our ulama ikram was explaining in the month of Ramadan that man is created from different items of the earth. Man is created from sand, different elements of the earth, sand. Man is created from water. Air is also used in the creation of man, and fire is also used in the creation of man. And if you look at all these elements which are found in the world, each of these elements have got different intrinsic and inherent qualities. If we look at, for example, fire, then we find fire has got the quality of pride. It has got the quality of arrogance. That is why we find Iblis, Shaitan, who was created from fire, then this quality of arrogance was so dominant in him, and because he did not develop the quality of controlling this quality which was found in him. Remember, each person has got different temperaments, he's got a different mizaj. Some people will find they are more temperamental. Some people have the quality of cowardice. Some people have got the quality of, or rather the evil quality of greed. Now these qualities are found in each and every person to varying degrees. Now it is not within us to completely remove these qualities. These qualities are found in us, we can never remove them. However, we can develop the ability to control them. If a person has got a lot of anger in him, so it is not necessary for him to completely remove the anger. Because if a person did not have anger, then when the commands of Sharia, the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are being violated, or a person comes in and he now starts interfering with his wife or his daughter, now at this moment the person says, no, I'm not supposed to get angry, so therefore I will be very, very calm and I will not show any anger on this occasion. Or if a person is in the battlefield, then there he says, "Main haqeer hu, faqeer hu, Abdul Qadir hu," as Hazrat Hakim Sahib Damat Barakatuh mentions, that at that time he says, "I'm very, very weak. I'm an insignificant person." So now this is the occasion when a person will show his anger. So from this we understand that anger is something which is within a person, but each person has got varying degrees of anger or greed, or a person will have excessive lust, whatever it may be. So it is not within us to completely remove these elements, but we should learn to control these temperaments which we find in ourselves. And for this, a person goes to people who are specialists in this field. So we find Iblis, he had arrogance which was found in him, but he did not learn to control this arrogance and this pride. So therefore he refused. And he disobeyed the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was to lower himself, to degrade himself literally before Adam alayhi salam. And he said that, خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَارُ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن تِينَ, that I am created from fire. Fire rises high. And he is created from sand. Sand is down. We walk on it. We trample it. So I am superior. Why should something superior bow down to something which is inferior? So he refused. So we find that man is also created from this element of fire to a certain extent. Then, if we look at the quality of water, then it is said water has the quality of greed. If we look at the flood waters, when there is a flood, then the flood waters, it consumes, it devours, it takes everything with it. Whether it is something which is pure, impure, the filth of the gullies, the houses, everything. It consumes and devours everything. So water has this quality, the sifat of greed. If we look at air, then we find air is something which is found everywhere. Anywhere you go, you can find this air. It has this quality of, as they say, uniqueness. It is something which is unique. So, ulama have explained that it has this quality of ujab, of feeling very unique, of very, very special, that I am special. And if we go further, then finally man is also created from sand. And if we look at sand and the earth, then we find that sand and the earth has got the quality of miserliness. If we look at the mines and the gold and the silver and the platinum and the uranium, man has to make a tremendous effort to reach it. It is not that the earth throws it out. It hides it deep within. It has a lot of miserliness. In fact, a person in the before latter times, they would actually bury their treasures beneath the earth, because the earth would never ever reveal it to anyone. So the quality of the earth is the quality of miserliness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created man with all these elements, and each of these elements have certain qualities. But look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He has given us this deen of Islam, which is so perfect, it allows us the ability to control all these elements and these qualities which are found within us. If we look at the first element of pride, then we find in salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs us in salah that we have to lower our heads. The head is something which is so supreme, it is regarded as the best portion, the most respectable portion of a person's body. But yet man has to take this respectable portion of his body and place it on the ground. So if a person ponders and if he constantly does this, then slowly but surely this quality of pride will come down. That he will regard himself as nothing. I am nothing but the ground, the earth. And in reality, a person, if he really ponders over his reality and his creation, then he will realize there is nothing to be really proud of. And a person, if he always looks at those above him, if a person does some good deed, for example, in a'mal, he has given a certain amount of charity, so let him look at those who have given more charity. Then he will not feel proud. Rather, he should develop the quality of expressing gratitude, and he should rather say that وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ, that whatever bounty I have, whether it is beauty, whether it is wealth, whether it is intelligence, then this is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For after all, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gave the person that intelligence. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gave the person the ability to understand the different concepts and then to pass in his examination. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who created the person with strength, with beauty. So when a person contemplates over this, then gratitude will come in his heart. And when a person expresses gratitude and appreciation for any bounty which he is blessed with. That is why in every single salah, in every single raka'at of every single salah, we commence our tilawat with Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have heard Hazrat Rahmatullah on many occasions explaining this praise, that a person praises in different ways. Either a person praises you directly, or he praises the person who created that thing, and in different ways. So whatever praise it is, whether a person is praising you, or whether a person is praising another person, or whether a person is praising himself, or whether a person is praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then ultimately all praises lillahi rabbil alameen are ultimately for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if we see any good quality in any person, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who blessed that person with that particular good quality. So this quality of pride is diminished by means of our salah, which we perform 5 times a day. And then if we look at the next quality which is found in man, and that is the quality of greed, then we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained upon us the discharging of our zakah. And in the month of Ramadan, the giving of our sadaqatul fitr. So in this way, a person learns to part with that wealth which he becomes so attached to. A person learns to part with that wealth which he becomes so attached to. And in this way, that greed does not get out of control. The next element we find in a person is the element of miserliness. And for this miserliness also, we find rather miserliness goes with this discharging of zakah, and greed goes with fasting. We find in the month of Ramadan, we have to abstain from things which we normally enjoy. So here a person sometimes goes beyond the limits. So by means of this fasting, he learns to control this greed. And finally, we look at the quality of uniqueness, where a person feels that he is somebody special. So for this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this hukam of fast, of hajj. That if you look, a person goes to Makkatul Mukarramah on his pilgrimage, then there he is nothing but a mere drop in an ocean. There are millions of people around him. Now when he looks at those millions of people and he is drowned in them, then he realizes that he is really nothing in comparison to everyone else. What is so special about him? In fact, everybody has to wear the same garment. Even a person who is a king and normally enjoys wearing designer outfits, but when he is in ihram, he has to wear the same garment as every single person. A poor man will be next to him, but he will be dressed exactly as that poor man. So therefore, that feeling of uniqueness slowly goes out of the person. So the ayat kareema which I recited, which was related to Hajj, because we know now we are in the month of Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that Al-Hajju Ashhurum Ma'lumat. That, just a brief translation is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that this months of Hajj are well known. And these are the months of Shawwal, Dhul-Qa'dah and the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجَّ. Whoever makes it upon himself to perform this duty of Hajj, so فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. So we may say that we are not going for Hajj, but remember, in every single verse of the Quran al-Kareem, there is some lesson that we can all derive. And remember, these qualities which a person has to bring when he goes for Hajj, it is not merely confined to the months of Hajj, but rather when a person goes for Hajj, then it is an opportunity for him to train himself, to prepare himself, to completely spiritually uplift himself, to purify his heart, to rejuvenate himself. Just like the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us all the opportunity to spiritually train ourselves, to curtail this evil desires by means of abstaining from those things which are normally halal. It then becomes easier for us to abstain from those things which are haram. So a person builds this ability to control himself. That is another reason why the ulama ikram explain why the months of Hajj are brought so close to the month of Ramadan. Look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is like the examiner who sets the paper, but before he sets the paper, before he gives you the paper, he tells the pupils that now for the next month we're going to be doing revision. We'll revise everything. And he thoroughly revises all the different areas and the different topics and the different concepts. And he makes the pupils ready, prepares them for the examination. Now when that paper is presented before the pupils, how easy it becomes. In fact, the pupils then say that this teacher, this is an excellent teacher. He really makes the subject very easy for us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at His mercy, that He brings the month of Hajj immediately after the month of Ramadan, preparing us. He gives us the training. Then now the months of Hajj come. Now we are ready. We are ready to go through the months of Hajj. So this again is the mercy, and from this we realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to forgive us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us opportunities to come closer to Him. So in the months of Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. There must be no obscenity. There must be no disobedience or transgression. وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. And neither must there be any quarreling, any arguing, any fighting. Now, ulama-i-kiram and the muhaddithin, the mufassireen, have gone through great lengths in explaining and bringing out the meaning of the Qur'an-i-Kareem. Remember, the Qur'an-i-Kareem is such, each ayat, each verse of the Qur'an-i-Kareem is really an ocean. And volumes, pages, and books have been written just on one verse of the Qur'an-i-Kareem. So, ya ulama-i-kiram, explain how in the months of Hajj, a person has to then abstain from any type of obscenity, any type of intimate relations between husband and wife, wala fusuqa, and any types of transgression. Now, in this transgression, the ulama-i-kiram explained that it is more covering the aspects of Hajj, where a person has to abstain from certain things. For example, a person must abstain from hunting. A person cannot use perfume. The menfolk specifically must not wear stitched garments. They must not cover their heads. Again, there's a mujahada that a person has to undergo. He has to restrain himself. Normally, a person, when he is sweaty, he cannot tolerate it. He needs to apply perfume. But here, when a person goes to Hajj, he is now a beggar in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he lowers himself before the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in fact, this entire ritual of Hajj and the qurbani, which we will all be undertaking soon, if you look at it, it is nothing, the whole theme of it is nothing but submission to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you look at Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, how he loved his son Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam. He loved him so dearly. After years and years of crying before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a child, then at the age of 80, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finally blesses him with a son. And what a beautiful son that is. And then he becomes so attached to that son. But then the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to sacrifice that son. Now look at the opposition there. On the one side, you have the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and on the other side, you have the love for that son. But now we see that his love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dominated, and therefore he immediately obliged and he immediately obeyed the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this whole theme of qurbani and hajj is nothing but the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we too need to develop the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not only specific to those who are going for hajj. Each and every individual needs to develop so much of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he loves Allah more than he loves himself, his family, his wealth, his business. This does not mean a person must not love his wealth. He must not love his business. No, he will love it. But the love of Allah will be more. And how will we realize this? That when there is a pull, on the one side it is business, and on the other side it is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we will see who does he love more. If he loves Allah more, then he will immediately obey the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the cost and the expense of the love for that business or the love for his child. So we find that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam immediately obeyed the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the other thing, obedience to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Time is expiring, but if you look at this whole ritual of Hajj, there are many, many lessons that we can derive and bring in our lives. And if you look at the Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I was listening to a program of Zaid rahmatullah alayhi last night just to get some, you know, inspiration. And he was mentioning what a point. He said, look at the Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do when he went for Hajj? If you look at Arafah, which is the highlight of the Hajj of every single Haji, the highlight of the Hajj of every single Haji is Arafah. That is a rukun of Hajj. But you look And if we analyze the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he do in Arafah? From Zuhr till Maghrib, because we know there is a combination of Salah. So from Zuhr till Maghrib, with certain conditions. So from Zuhr till Maghrib, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is crying and crying in dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore we look at the Hajj of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nothing but turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in reality, he was crying for each and every one of us. Because if we look at the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they had already reached such a high degree. They had reached such a high level. As Hazrat Rahmatullah alayhi says, that those 124,000 Sahaba ikram that were there in Hajjatul Wida, the farewell Hajj, where will the world ever witness a gathering like that? So they all had shining hearts. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had worked on their hearts and worked on their akhlaq. So therefore, we too need to develop this quality, this closeness, this bond of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us these qualities. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.